Well, hey, everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. In this episode of our podcast, we're continuing on in our sermon series called Follow Me. And all throughout the series, we've been talking about what it really means to follow Jesus. But unfortunately, a lot of us have this idea in our minds that one of the most important things when it comes to following Jesus is just looking like someone who follows Jesus. Now, what this means is that we're going to prioritize our appearance, what people can see on the outside. So we want to make sure that we're carrying the biggest and fanciest Bible we can find. We want to make sure that we're wearing Christian t-shirts or have a shiny silver cross that's hanging around our neck. But the reality is that those things don't make us a better follower of Jesus. When it comes to following Jesus, it's not about what's happening on the outside. It's about what God is doing to us on the inside. So let's get right into this episode's sermon and learn more about what it really means to follow Jesus.
So we're now 5 weeks into the season of Lent. And as the author Sarah Parsons explains it, Lent is a time when we look at our lives and ourselves, not so that we may criticize ourselves more harshly, but so that we can identify the obstructions that keep us from following God. Lent gives us a chance to look at such obstructions and to move gently away from them so that we can come closer to the one who gives us life, the one whose triumph we celebrate on Easter morning. Now, what Parsons is saying here is that Lent is a season of both reflection and of action. Lent's a time when we take a closer look at our lives and we try to identify those things. We try to find those things that keep us from following Jesus the way that we should. But it's also a time of action. It's a time where we're supposed to recommit ourselves to following Jesus better as we move forward. But you can't really follow Jesus if you don't know what that means. So throughout the season of Lent here at Melbourne Heights, we've been working our way through a series of sermons called Follow Me, where we've been talking about what it means to follow Jesus. And a lot of us believe the same thing about following Jesus that I believed about being a pastor right after I was ordained into the ministry almost 20 years ago. Now, even though I was ordained into ministry back in 2004, I still remember it vividly. I remember my ordination service, and I remember that after my ordination service, my parents threw a big party in my honor, complete with a giant sheet cake and presents. And I still remember one gift that I received at my ordination party more than anything else. The church that I was serving in as a youth minister at the time, everyone in the church had pitched in, and they bought me a real-life briefcase. All right, now, I was 22 years old when this happened, okay? So when you're 22 years old, there's only two possible things that you know that a briefcase is used for. You think that briefcases are either used, you stuff them full of $100 bills, and you take them into shadowy parking lots so you can pay off ransoms to the mob, or briefcases are used to hold the secret codes for America's nuclear missile program. Well, when I opened up my briefcase that day, it wasn't full of $100 bills, unfortunately, and it also didn't hold any secret codes, which was probably a good thing. So I had no idea what to actually do with this briefcase. But when I held that briefcase in my hand, I knew that it made me look like a professional minister. And that's what I wanted to look like after I had just been ordained. So I took that briefcase, and when I went home, I filled it with everything that I could think of that kind of sort of looked churchy. I put a leather-bound Bible inside of it. I put some devotional books that I had. I found some empty manila folders, and I wrote things on the tabs like future sermon series or possible Bible studies, and I put those inside of my briefcase. Because if anybody ever opened up my briefcase, I wanted them to think that I knew what I was doing. So right out of the gate, one of the things that I thought about being a minister, I thought the most important thing about being a minister was looking the part. And I'm kind of ashamed to admit this, but a lot of that mentality carried over with me when I became a pastor for the first time a few years later. I thought that it was still about looking the part. Now, to give you a little bit more context here, when I first became a pastor, I was all of 25 years old. And the church that I was called to serve for the first time was about 200 years old. Most of the people inside of that church were old enough to be my grandparents or my great-grandparents, and just about all of them had been a member of that church longer than I had even been alive. So I was really intimidated when I was showing up for my very first Sunday as a pastor and pastoring this historic church. And I had no idea what I was actually supposed to be doing. But I knew that when I walked in there on that Sunday morning, I needed to make sure that the people in that congregation felt like they had made the right decision when they called me to pastor that church. So I knew when I showed up that day that I had to look the part. And that's what I tried my best to do. So when I walked into that sanctuary for the first time as the pastor of that church, I straightened my tie and I walked up to that platform, the stage in front, like I was the president walking in to deliver the State of the Union address. When it was my time to preach my sermon, I tried to preach like I was Billy Graham and Billy Sunday all rolled into one. When the service came to an end, I went back and stood by the main entrances to the sanctuary, and I shook hands and I made small talk like thousands of other ministers all across the country would have done that day. And when it was all over and I made it back home that afternoon, I felt like I had at least looked like I was a pastor. And then Monday morning rolled around, and I went over to my church office for the very first time. And I spent the first half hour of the day unpacking boxes from my car, putting them in my office, neatly arranging them against one wall. And then I promptly plopped down inside of my office chair and spent the first couple hours of the day spinning around in circles because I still had no idea what I was supposed to be doing. But then I realized that, hey, if one of these people in this church that just called me to be their pastor shows up to visit their pastor on the first day in the office and they see me spinning around in circles in my chair, I'm not going to make it very long. They're going to regret this decision pretty quickly. So I thought, okay, what can I do to make it look like I'm a pastor? So I went over, I opened up a box, I pulled out my college diploma, and I pulled out my ordination certificate. Because there are a few things that make somebody feel more confident in calling someone to be a minister than seeing that there are official institutions that have actually offered their minister credentials. So I made sure I got those hung up on the wall. When I was finished with that, I still didn't know what I needed to be doing. So I thought, okay, what else can I do to look like a minister? What can I do to look like a pastor? And I thought, well, if I were walking into my pastor's office, what I would want to see is shelves that are lined with books. So I went back to my boxes. I opened the rest of them up, and I started unpacking every book that I owned at that point in time. And most of those books were books that I had to buy for college classes or seminary courses. But I put all those up on my shelf, and then I grabbed every devotional book that anyone had ever given me, even if I hadn't looked at that thing in years. And then I pulled out every Bible that I ever owned, including a pretty decent stack of those New Testaments that the Gideons passed out on my college campus when I was an undergraduate student. Now, all totaled, I had enough books to probably fill about 3 shelves inside of that office. But after meticulously arranging and rearranging them, I managed to make it look like those shelves were pretty full. And when I stepped back and I looked at it all, I thought, hey, at least I look like I'm a pastor. And that's pretty well the way that my first 5 weeks of being a pastor went for me. When I woke up on Sunday mornings, I wanted to look like I was a pastor. When I stood behind the pulpit to preach, I wanted to preach like I was a pastor. When I went into my office Monday through Thursday and worked, I wanted to work like a pastor. So 5 weeks into ministry, I still thought the same thing I thought when I was ordained a few years earlier. I still thought that the most important thing about being a minister was looking the part. And a lot of us think the exact same thing is true when it comes to following Jesus. A lot of us think that the most important thing about following Jesus is looking like you follow Jesus. A lot of us think that the most important thing about following Jesus is looking like you follow Jesus. So when we start following Jesus for the first time, we want to make sure that we look the part. And what do you need if you want to look the part of being a Christian? Well, the first thing that you need to have is a Bible, right? But you can't just have any old Bible when you first start following Jesus. You've got to have a Bible that makes it look like you're serious about following Jesus. So that means that you want a Bible that comes with all the bells and all the whistles with it. You want a Bible that has a comprehensive concordance in it, and you want a Bible that comes with little study notes inside of it, too. You want a Bible that has geographical maps back at the back of it and some character profiles along the way. You want a Bible that has little commentaries that are written down at the end of each passage, and you want a Bible that's filled with all sorts of annotated footnotes that you can follow along the way. And you know what happens when you cram all that stuff into one book? That thing's as heavy as a bowling ball, and you don't want to carry it around anymore. But when you want to follow Jesus, you've got to have a Bible so you can look like you're following Jesus. But you can't stop with that either. You also have to have all of the little knickknacks around you that show everyone that you're following Jesus. So a lot of people, when they start following Jesus, they want to go out and they want to buy a bunch of shirts that have all sorts of Christian logos or slogans on them. We want to buy hats or necklaces that have crosses that hang from them. We want to fill our couches with throw pillows that have Bible verses that are embroidered on them. We want to put up a calendar on our walls that have little devotional thoughts written on them every single day. But you know what? It doesn't matter how fancy a Bible you have. It doesn't matter how much Christian merchandise you own. None of those things make you a better follower of Jesus. They don't. None of those things make you a better follower of Jesus. And this is something that Jesus is going to tell us himself in the scripture passage that I want us to take a closer look at today. So if you've got a Bible close by, let me encourage you to grab it and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And as you're finding it, let me just point out to you that the book of Matthew is one of four biographies that we have for Jesus in the New Testament. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So when you're reading the book of Matthew, you're going to be able to read about Jesus' birth and his baptism. You'll be able to read about Jesus' ministry and the miracles that he performed. You'll be able to read about Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. And you can also read some of the things that Jesus taught. And that's what I want us to take a closer look at today. One of the things that Jesus taught. So in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be reading a portion of the longest recorded sermon that we have that Jesus preached. We usually call this sermon the Sermon on the Mount. And when you read through the Sermon on the Mount, which goes from Matthew 5 through Matthew 7, you're going to see that Jesus covers all the different aspects and areas of our lives. But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is going to give all of us who want to follow him a warning. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6 together, and let's see what this warning is. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Here's what Jesus says. Just be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people to draw their attention. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet as the hypocrites do in synagogues and in the streets so that they may get praise from people. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. But I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't pour out a flood of empty words as the Gentiles do. They think that by saying many words, they'll be heard. All right, so in this passage, Jesus is warning us about only looking like we're following God. But let's just be completely honest here, okay? It's really easy to look like you're following God, right? I mean, if you just do everything that Jesus tells you not to do in that passage, you're going to look like you are an excellent follower of God. If when our service comes to an end, if you're here with us in person, if you walk back and you make a big show of dropping your offering envelope into our offering box, it's going to look like you're following Jesus. If when you go out to lunch today, if you pray a big, loud, long, elaborate prayer before your lunch is served, it's going to look like you're following Jesus. But there's a big difference between looking like you're a Christian and actually following Christ. There's a big difference between looking like you're a Christian and actually following Christ. And following God isn't about what we see on the outside. It's about what God is doing to us on the inside. And that's the way to really know that you're actually following Jesus. Because you know what? Anybody can walk around with a big fancy Bible in their hands. Anybody can go out and buy a Christian t-shirt and wear it whenever they want. Anybody can drop a little bit of money into an offering box. Anybody can pray a big fancy elaborate prayer. But if we're really following God, then God's changing us on the inside. And this is something that the Apostle Paul, who's the foremost missionary and theologian of the first century, talks with us about in a letter that he writes to some of the first followers of Jesus living in a place called Galatia. Paul's going to talk with them about what it looks like when God is changing them on the inside. And Paul tells them that God is going to produce fruit in us if we're really following God. And when you stop and we think about it for just a second, this analogy makes perfect sense, right? Because if you have a healthy apple tree, what kind of fruit does it grow? Apples. And if you have a healthy orange tree, what kind of fruit does it grow? Oranges. So if you're a healthy person that's following God, you should be producing fruit in your life. You should be growing godly fruit inside of you. And Paul goes on to write about exactly what this fruit is in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, when he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." So if you're really following Jesus, then you're going to be producing this godly fruit in your life. You're not going to be focused in on having a Bible that comes with all the bells and the whistles. No, you're going to want to be more loving. You're going to want to be more joyful. You're going to want to be a kinder person. If you're really following Jesus, then you're not going to be focused on what logos are on your shirt or what pendants are hanging from the bottom of your necklaces. No, you're going to be focused on how you can become more patient or faithful or gentle. So following Jesus isn't about looking the part. Following Jesus is about producing fruit. Following Jesus isn't about looking like you're following Jesus. Following Jesus is about producing fruit in your life. And that's something that I realized about 5 weeks after I became a pastor. And I'll never forget the day that it happened for me. It was a Tuesday morning, and I hadn't even started getting ready to go into work yet, when the phone in my house rang. Yes, this was back in the day. I actually had a phone inside of my house. Crazy thought. But when I picked up the phone, it was one of the deacons in the church that I was serving in at the time. And this deacon called to let me know that a longtime member of the church had just passed away. Now, this longtime member of the church, he had been bedridden and in a nursing home for a number of years. He was no longer able to communicate at all. And I had only met him just the week before. But when I received this news, my heart sank. So I hopped in the shower, got myself ready as quickly as I could, and I headed over to the nursing home. And when I arrived at the nursing home, I met this longtime church member's widow in the hallway outside of his room. And when I met his widow, I did the pastorly thing. I was still trying to look like a minister, and I offered her my condolences for her loss. And as we stood there and we talked for a few minutes, after we had finished that little conversation, I offered to follow her back to her house so that we could sit and she could tell me more about her late husband. Well, when we got over to her house, I sat down in a chair over in the corner of her living room, and I listened to her talk about the man that she had spent the last 50 years of her life with. I heard her sharing real emotions and real grief over a real loss. And I realized in that moment that poor widow didn't need somebody who was trying to look like her pastor. She needed a real pastor. And she was stuck with me. But I knew that as we sat there and we talked inside of her living room, that what she needed was someone that could love her when her heart was breaking. As we sat there in that living room and I talked with her, I realized that what she needed was someone that could be gentle and kind with her when she was on the verge of falling to pieces. What I realized as I sat and I talked with her in her living room is that she needed somebody that could offer her a little bit of peace in all of the chaos that she was experiencing and what had to be the most difficult time of her life. I realized that what she needed, as we sat there and we talked in those moments, was someone that could remind her of God's faithfulness, even though it felt like her world had been completely turned upside down. So as I sat over in that overstuffed armchair in the corner of her living room, I realized that I needed to stop worrying about looking like I was a pastor. And I actually needed to become one. And that's what I've tried to do every day from that point forward. I've been far less concerned with looking like what somebody's idea of a minister is, and I've tried to be the person that God created me to be, sharing the fruit of the Spirit that God has grown inside of my life. And when it comes to following Jesus, we all need to do the exact same thing. We need to stop trying to look like we're following Jesus, and we need to actually follow Jesus. We need to stop trying to look like we're following Jesus, and we need to actually follow Jesus. So if you want to follow Jesus, you don't need to worry about what that looks like on the outside. Because the reality is that no two followers of Jesus are ever going to look exactly the same. Instead, you need to be concerned about what God is doing on the inside. And you need to be talking with God, praying with God, asking God to help you grow the fruit in your life that God wants you to have. You need to be talking with and praying with God, asking God to help you become a more loving person, a person who is filled with more joy and peace, somebody who has more patience in your life, a kinder person, a gentler person, someone who is more faithful, someone who has more self-control. Because that's what it's going to look like if you're really following God. If you're really following God, nobody's ever going to be able to tell by the Bibles that you carry or the clothes that you wear or the knickknacks that you surround yourself with. What they're going to be able to tell it by is your life. And if you can look at yourself and say, hey, I thought I was following Jesus, but I'm not any more loving today than I was when I first started following Jesus. Or if you look at your life and you say, hey, I thought I was following God, but I'm not any more joyful now than when I started following Jesus. Or you can keep going down that list. If that fruit of the Spirit is not growing in your life, then you're not really following Jesus. But I've said this every week during this sermon series. Following Jesus is a choice. And you get to make that choice every single day. If you're going to follow Jesus or not, you get to make the choice every day if you want God to be growing this fruit in your life or not. And that choice is yours. You can decide if you're okay with just looking like someone who follows Jesus. Or you get to decide if you actually want to follow Jesus and have him change you from the inside out. But only one of those things is actually following God. God doesn't care about what you look like on the outside. God only cares about who you are and who you're becoming on the inside. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this time of prayer, you know that there are times when all of us just try to look the part in our lives. And yeah, that means that sometimes we just try to look the part when it comes to following you. So we get concerned about the clothes that we wear. We get concerned about the Bible that we carry. We get concerned about the things that we surround ourselves with. And we want people to look at us and see someone who is following you. But God, the reality is that the only way people will ever see you in our lives is through the fruit that we produce. So God, help every one of us to be more loving and joyful. Help us to be more patient and peaceful. Help us to be kinder and gentler. Help us to have better self-control, God. Help us to grow the fruit in our lives that you want our lives to produce. And let us share that fruit with those all around us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast. And I hope that this episode has reminded you that when it comes to following Jesus, it's not about what you see on the outside. It's about what God is doing to you on the inside. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode, but I want to invite you to come back and join us when our next episode drops. We're going to be finishing up the sermon series, and we're going to spend our time talking about why we should want to follow Jesus to begin with. So I hope that you'll join us when our next episode drops next week. As always, if you subscribe to our podcast, that episode will be sent straight to your favorite podcasting app, or you can come and join us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live. We'd love to have you come and join us. Well, until next time, I hope that you have a great week. I'll be praying for you, and we'll see you back here soon for another sermon podcast.